Hey y'all, before we get started with today's episode, I wanted to take a quick minute to tell y'all about my friend Bailey Henry and the book she wrote entitled Having a Baby and Other Things I'm Bad At. This book is the perfect read for anyone who has been touched by infertility, miscarriages, or the loss of a child, which is something that we will talk about with today's guest. So I thought this was a really appropriate episode to introduce this book and author to you all. So Bailey started with her own journey through infertility, and she continues to tell stories to provide hope in the darkness. Her raw honesty and her lighthearted humor combined with her real-life situations make this a must-read for anyone who has struggled, or even if you haven't. I haven't personally experienced this pain or loss, and I was so touched by this book. You've got to get a copy of it. You can get it on Amazon or Audible if you're local to the Jackson area. I know we have it in some bookstores and children's stores around here as well. Having a Baby and Other Things I'm Bad At by Bailey Henry. You can purchase through the link in the show notes. This is Wellbeing Well Said, the podcast with me, Sarah Maloof. Join me as I chat with fitness gurus, business owners, wellness experts, and other inspiring individuals as together we dive into what it means to live well. Hi, friends. Welcome back to part two of this two-part episode with Kate Jacobs. This is such an inspiring interview. I know that several of y'all messaged me last week when it seemed to cut off abruptly at the end of part one, but I had to stop it somewhere. I could have talked to Kate all day, and just putting this into two parts was hard enough. So I know if you've listened to part one, you're eager to hear the rest of her story. If you have not listened to part one, there's really no other way to introduce today's episode without just suggesting that you go back and listen to the last episode. So Kate leads us up right into a trauma that she experienced a couple of years back. And I did want to remind you all again, or tell you for the first time if you're new here, today's episode does deal with some traumatic grief, some very upsetting events through the loss of a child. We talk openly, I should say Kate talks openly about her grief and pain, but even though she talks through a lot of darkness and she's experienced a lot of troubles in her life, this episode, I'm just confident it's not going to leave you feeling depressed. Even through all she's been through, Kate finds a way to portray hope and just an amazing, steadfast love in Christ, and she really inspires me a lot. So again, I know y'all are excited to hear the rest of her story. Kate is such a lovable character. She's someone I really look up to, and she has inspired me greatly and continues to inspire me. And so with that being said, part two of Kate Jacobs' story coming up next.
And I was in the kitchen at the moment pulling her medicines because she had to take several medicines a day, multiple times a day. And so I'm in there getting that ready, and my husband's getting ready in the room with her. And I run in there like, what was that? And we noticed that like the life is coming out of her, and I'm like, kind of start panicking, but I'm like, can't panic. Got to get her on the ground. You got to start CPR and you got to call 911. Well, Bonner prepared us for a situation like this. And the fact that they even had to prepare, I just hope that I wish no other parent even had to be prepared for a situation to give CPR and what to do. And so my husband gets her on the ground, and I'm calling 911. And then for anyone that has never given CPR to a child, it may not sound hard, but it is exhausting. You have to do it with two fingers. It's different than an adult, and it is exhausting. And so I take over from my husband after I get off of 911, and he's watching for him to come. And it felt like it took just eternity for the ambulance to get there. I'm just like, where are they? And I will spare you the actual words I was saying, but essentially, where are they? In reality, retrospect, it didn't take very long for them to get there. But when I took over in CPR, I watched her eyes roll back and forth, and I knew that she was probably about to die. And I remember in that moment telling her out loud, let go, baby. If it's time and you can't fight anymore, just let go. Because you're about to be instantly healed when Jesus. And I continue to do CPR. I just remember laying over and my face is on her face. And I'm just like, let go. I don't want you to not live a quality life. And at this point, I don't know if you will. And as I'm continuing to talk to her, do CPR, these paramedics walked in and were in my bedroom. I should have mentioned that more. We're in my bedroom, okay? And they walk in and they hook up all these machines. And they hook up one that's like the monitor that you see in Grey's Anatomy, not to make anything funny in here, but like it's in Grey's Anatomy where it shows your heart rate, your oxygen. And so they hook that up and they have the sound on, and it's just flat. Where there should be, if she's alive, lines moving up and down, right? And they're shocking her and they're trying to bring her back to life. And I'm standing off to the side and my husband's across from me, and like the paramedics are in between us. And I'm looking at my husband's face and I just see the life just completely leaving him. And it's something that I hope I never witness again. Not my husband, not anybody. He knew that she had died and I knew. And I'm looking at the paramedics, and by this point, they've turned the machine off because I don't know if I could have heard another minute of the flatline. It was awful. And the paramedics, we didn't know. They didn't know us. Just everybody in the entire room is numb and helpless. And by this point, I mentioned earlier that my sibling lives few houses down from us, and she had heard the ambulance that she and her husband came to our house. And my brother-in-law is a big guy, he's 6'6", and I remember walking into the kitchen and just collapsing into me. And it was hard for him to catch me, he wasn't prepared. And I remember sitting on the floor and I was like, she died. She's gone. And they were like, you don't know that. Like, they'll get her to Patston. And I was like, no, she just died. And in that moment, only the Lord can give me this peace. I have no other way to explain it. I thought in my worst moment was the absolute best moment of her life. She instantly became healed in heaven. For the first time in 7.5 months that she had been alive, she took her first breath without struggling. She saw Jesus face to face. She got to where every Christian wants to get to. And you know what? She didn't have to get accepted into heaven. She didn't have to go through judgment. And I learned that later as I was reading the Bible. People that are not of age, children, which doesn't say a specific number, that don't know well enough and they don't have the capacity to accept Jesus in their heart, you get a free pass, automatically accepted into heaven. And that happened for her. And because of that, I was a little bit more okay. I knew that I love the Lord. And I fully believed in heaven, and I fully believed she was there. And as much as I missed her, it was going to miss her on earth, it gave me so much comfort knowing that she was with Christ. Had I not been a Christian, I don't know how I would have handled that moment or any moment going forward up until now. The thought of never seeing her again is something I can't even fathom. And I love sharing that part of our story and our part of our testimony, because I encourage people, when your loved ones pass away, as hurtful and painful it is here, if you know the Lord and you know they knew the Lord, they are in heaven and you will see him again. And it promises us that in the Bible. And that reassurance to me is the thing that gets me through every day.
Do you think, I mean, Kate, thank you so much for being so vulnerable and open with us. I know this is not easy to talk about. And I'm sitting here having not had a child of my own, but just watching people I love raise children. And that's a pain that even though I do love God and I want to trust him, I'm like, could I do that? You know, could I suffer that kind of pain, that loss, and still feel God's grace and still not just doubt and just have that trust in him? And that poses me to ask the question, do you think that God truly only brings people to something that he can equip them to walk through if they know him? Can you even explain from a human perspective how you made it, how you did this? Because like, would you, you know, a year prior to this, whenever you found out you were pregnant, take it back to then, do you think if you had known then what you know now, at that time, would you have been like, I'd be okay? No. God would get me through. Right. It's something I can't wrap my mind around that I know people can talk about in retrospect when they have that deep faith, but not having gone through it, it can't be explained, you know?
Yes. And I would love to elaborate on that. I'm so glad you brought it up. Let me first say, I've had so many people, I feel like people think I might be a psychopath, but I'm not. They're like, how are you okay? That's weird. So strange that you're like, okay. On September 8th of 2019, the day before, I would have told you I would never survive her being dead. Mm. You don't know how you can handle something until you're in the moment. And I'm just thankful that I don't have an answer besides God covered me with his grace and mercy. And my husband struggled at the beginning, and God gave me the ability to be the stronger one. And then I broke down a little bit later, and Trey was the stronger one. And God did that on purpose. We were able to be strong for one another when we needed it the most. But I don't have any other way to just say, I look back on it and I'm like, people probably think I'm crazy that I didn't really love her or I didn't care. Like, how could I not just like walk around just being sad? God's goodness and grace, I keep saying it, but like, and I'm going to get into it a little bit more in just a few minutes, but like the things that have happened in my life, there's just no way he's not real. And he's been so visible, and there's been so many God winks, and my walk in my belief and faith with him since that day she passed away, it's just grown tremendously because I've seeked him. Because I seek the Lord, I see his goodness. And when you don't seek the Lord, you miss it. And that's a fact. So to kind of touch on your question about the Lord, if I can't remember exactly how you posed it, but let me say this. I used to think that the Lord didn't give you too much that you couldn't handle. And it turns out one of my husband's relatives pointed out to me that that is dumb and that is not true. And I was like, yes, it is. No, it's not. Turns out it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that God doesn't give you too much, can't handle. In fact, he gives you too much that you can't handle without him. That the only way to survive is with him. And he's the only one that can get you through the trials and tribulations you get through. And when I found that out, that changed my whole perspective. It's like, you know, right? You know what? He's right. I am weak and I am not strong enough to battle this. And the day that she passed, which is so many things, it's insane. I talked to my therapist about it so much for about a year. It's like, I don't understand. How did I not black out that day? How in the world do I remember every single bit of what happened? Every detail, typically in a very traumatic situation, you kind of black out. You don't remember things. And I'm going to be honest, I kind of wish that that would happen where I didn't remember everything. But I remember, let me say this before I head into that. God puts people in your life that you sometimes wonder why, or like, you know, why would they be significant one day? And Katie Thompson Appleby is one of those. The day that she passed, Katie was at the time an ER nurse, okay, and she worked night shift. The morning that she passed away, we didn't get to the hospital until after 8, and she got off at 7 from that night shift. She was still there, and she heard that a child about 7.5 months old with a heart condition was headed in. And she was finishing up for the day, and she was like, "Kate, I just had this gut feeling that it was Mary Owen." And so she stayed, and so did other people that were supposed to be leaving and not be there from the night shift moving in over into the day shift. And Trey rode in the ambulance because I just couldn't do it. I was weak in that moment, and I just couldn't do it. So Trey rode in the ambulance. I followed behind. So when I got there, and I walk into the ER, Katie Thompson is trying to revive her. And I'm like, I'm watching one of my best friends try to revive my baby. And I look over, and Danielle Kastner, who you probably don't know who that is, but was my husband's immediate next door neighbor the entire time they were growing up. And they've been friends their whole life. And she's holding the bag, trying to, you know, doing CPR, and they do the bag. And I'm watching these two people that I both know, and one that I love deeply and was in my wedding, and one of my best friends, try to bring my baby back to life. And I'm sitting on the floor, helpless in the ER. And I know she's gone. But I'm looking at my naked baby, and all these people trying to revive her. And another one of those, excuse my language, damn monitors that flatlines. I'm looking down, and Katie comes over to me. She bends down on her knees. She said, "I'm sorry. Can't bring her back. I never imagined that Katie would be my friend from college that was a part of such a tragedy moment with me. I love, love, love Katie. She holds a real special place in my heart, but I think if the roles were reversed, I don't know if I could tell her that her baby died. And I just wanted to share that because I know she'll listen, and I do love her, and she knows that. And every time I look at her, I think of, she's a superhero. You know, she tried, she did her best. And I do believe that she could have saved her if it had been, you know, an hour before. But I was at that point, I think about the struggles that she probably goes through. And she shared her story about how hard and traumatic that morning was. But you just never know your friends that are in your life. You never know who's going to be a part of really big moments. And I'm really thankful that Katie was there, and she sat with me that morning. And memory, Lofton McPherson, my best friends, she was at work that day at UMC, and she came down and she sat with me as I held my dead baby's body. And that meant a lot, that people that I really loved were there with me. And the Lord put us in Madison when he did, so that when she died, all of our family and our friends were with us immediately. And some people may say that's just a coincidence, but I don't. It says a lot that I live a few houses down from my sister. I still live here. I refuse to move out of this house. I work in the room that Mary Owen passed away from. I look at that spot every day. I'm thankful that all my people were with us. I've always wanted to name my next daughter, if I have another daughter, Martha Grace. Martha was Mary's sister in the Bible, and I love the name Grace. And I heard the name from one of my sister's friends. And Martha Grace was the person that took Mary Owen and was going to watch after her and prep her and get ready to go to the morgue. And she sat in the room with us and let me spend however much time I wanted with her. And I'm like, God even put this person in my life that I don't know very well, but I'm obsessed with her name and I want to use it one day. I mean, just the things. I mean, what are the chances of Martha Grace being in there, being a part of that, you know? It just, God, again, he brings you to the moments that you can't do it yourself. You have to lean on him. And one thing I told Trey that the day she died, I said, our life looks completely different. We can either choose a path of joy and try to be happy and try to move forward, or we can choose a life of sadness. And I want to know right now, and maybe this is a hard question for you to answer right now, but like, I need to know that you're going to choose that joyful path. Like, I want us to not get a divorce. It's like an 80% success rate that people divorce after something of losing a child. And I want us to be okay. And I want the rest of our time on earth to be okay. And he's like, good gosh, Kate, like she just died. Like, why do we have to talk about this? And I was like, 'cause I need to know, the pressure is on, like, we need to make decisions. And so anyway, so the day she passed, just, I made that commitment. I said, Lord, I told you on October 25th of 2018, I am all in. I'm 100% in. I'm not a lukewarm Christian anymore. Like, I want to be 100% in. And no matter what happens, I want to follow you and I want you to lead me through it. And I told him the same thing. She died. And I don't say it to where I want like a slap on the back or look at her, she's a good Christian, right? That's not it. I just knew from experience that if I didn't seek him wholeheartedly, it was going to be really hard the rest of my life because I can't do it without him. I'd already seen his goodness. Despite her passing away, I'd already seen so many things fall in place because of him. While we were in Memphis, the doctors we had, moving us to Madison, being around family, and then, oh my gosh, the things that have happened since the moment she passed away. It's just crazy, which I know that we've already, you know, spent a good bit of time. So I do want to move in to some things that really God just like showed out big. I actually wore my shirt, and I know obviously there's no audio. I mean, there's no visual on, I don't know if you can see it really come too close, but this is a Bible verse on my shirt that I love. It's Daniel 3, which Daniel 3:18 states, even if God is still good. And I live by that. I absolutely love that Bible verse. It says it obviously a little bit different. I've got a NIV Bible. The verse doesn't say exactly that, but the translation and the meaning of it is, even if God is still good. And what a storyline for my life, because life hasn't gone good, but it doesn't matter because God didn't promise for our life to be easy or for things to not, that things weren't going to happen. Like, that's just not, it doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. Sin entered the world and some people have a harder time in life than others. And that's just reality. It's not fair, but it is what it is, right? And you take your situation and you try to make the best of it no matter what it is. I don't know, unless I was in jail, I really would be bad in that situation. Might be hard to be Christ-like in that, but I do. So from that moment, I'm like, what are we going to do? Husband's like, what do you mean? What are we going to do? Like, she just died this morning. I was like, what are we going to do? Like, how are we going to be okay? And he's like, I don't know, but you're being too much right now. And so he wanted me to settle down. So I was like, I talked to my sister, I'm like, I need to get some therapy. I need to get some Xanax because it's a lot going on. So she was buried on 9/11, which 9/11 has always been a really terrible day for the U.S., right? I still remember where I was on 9/11. I never really thought anything different of 9/11. 9/11 now is a really terrible day for me, as you can imagine. I buried her on that day. It's the last day I saw her. Seeing your child in a casket is, I don't know if it was worth seeing her in a casket or giving her mouth to mouth, trying to revive her, just to be completely honest. I live every day with PTSD of the moment of giving her mouth to mouth and seeing her in a casket. That is really hard for me. As good as God is and as strong as my faith is, that is really hard for me to get past. I've learned ways to cope with it, but that's hard. So 9/11, obviously tough. So I go and see my therapist the next day, which is a Thursday after we bury her. And I absolutely love my therapist and she's wonderful. And the only reason I bring this up is because during our conversation, I'm like, I don't know if I want to have any more children. She's like, whoa, like, this is not the time or place to be, you know, making that kind of life decision. I'm like, I'm not doing it. I don't care. I am actually not going to have any more kids. And she's like, I need us to redirect the conversation and us talk about, you know, other things. And I was like, no, I just like need to talk about this because I have this insane feeling of not wanting to have any more kids in my own body. Now I want kids, so I'm going to adopt. And she's like, again, let's talk about that maybe later. You know, you're not really in a good headspace. And so I'm like, okay, but I mean, that's how I feel. And I've already started telling my husband who is like, what, this is like, it's only been a couple of days. Like, can we talk about this later? So anyway, I would say that I can't even describe fully the feeling that I had about having a baby again. Like, have you ever felt like you're like an elephant is sitting on your chest? You've got such nerves and the fear. I felt that way. And I wasn't even about to have another baby. So I don't know why I was feeling that way. I was so nervous. But I told the Lord, I want to be a mommy. I want to have more children on this earth. Like, I want that. So I pray about it. I pray about it. And I tell my husband and I tell my therapist, God, later on, obviously a couple months in, when I'm like, I really do want to have some more kids. And, you know, I ain't getting any younger. You know, I'm already in my 30s. So, you know, I want to start kind of planning. But I told Trey, I said, God's going to have to put a billboard up on 55 that says, Kate, you're having another baby. Like, I'm going to need a blatant sign that the Lord wants me to do that instead of adopting or fostering or whatnot. So I do have a 15-month-old. God did not put up a billboard. But over the course of a few months, while coping with Mary Ellen's loss and trying to figure out just how to navigate life going forward, right? He relieved that pain and that fear. And it totally did a 360. If you can do more than a 360, that's what happened. And I would say in January, she passed away in September. In January, I had just a great feeling that I did want to have another baby. It shifted my attitude. And so I tell my therapist, she was like, this could be short-lived. So like, don't try to have a baby today. Like, let's play this out. So we did, waited a couple of months. And the heightened desire to have another child. And we did get pregnant. I did have a baby in March of 2021. And I do want to share, and I will share about when he was born, but I want to just share that point because I realized that there's so many women out there, like Bailey Sims Henry, the event that you saw me, you know, give my testimony at, she put on, so many people that can't have children. And I feel guilty for taking for granted how easy it is for me to get pregnant. The moment I wanted to get pregnant with both of my kids, I was within a month. And I just want to say to those people struggling, either don't give up or maybe redirect your prayers. Lord, how do you want me to become a mom? Instead of let me get pregnant, right? Maybe shift a little bit and really give it all to the Lord and ask him, how do you want me to be a mom? There's a lot of different ways to be a mom. Some can have kids and some can't. There's adoption and fostering. And obviously I don't want to push that on anybody, but leave your options on the table. You know, it's just, anyway, I wanted to pass that out because that's been on my heart big time with how much I see on social media of women that aren't able to have children. And it just crushes my soul for others. So to bounce back a little bit, I definitely wanted to share that God can shift your heart, as I just shared, and can shift things in massive ways. I never thought I was going to have kids, and here I am. But I did want to share some God ways, because as I said just a little while ago, God showed up big after she passed away. Like, things that happen that are just like, if you can't believe in him right now, then there's nothing else that can happen that you can believe in him. So about a week after she passed away, I tell Trey, we're going out of the country. We're going to go to Cancun. Like, we're going to do something fun. He was like, we're not going to Cancun, Kate. And I'm like, yes, we are. And if you don't go, I'm taking my siblings. Like, I'm leaving the country because, you know, going out of the country obviously means that I can, you know, forget about all my problems. So anyway, passport was expired. Couldn't leave the country. We went to Destin. And while we were in Destin, he and I went by ourselves. And I love the beach. It's my happy place. And a couple days into being at the beach, sitting on the beach, and I'm praying to the Lord. I'm like, just give me a sign that she's okay. Like, I'm not doing great, struggling. The devil's really taking a hold of me. And so a few minutes later, after I'm praying to him, I'm standing at the ocean. I'm listening to my Jesus jams in my headphones, and I feel this tap on my shoulder. I turn around. It's an older lady and her daughter, who's an adult as well. And they're like, we have this strong desire to pray for you. And I was like, what? Like, can we pray for you? And I'm like, yeah, hit me with your goodness, girl. Like, I love me a good prayer. The lady, the older lady, she felt such a heartfelt prayer. It was amazing. She didn't even know what was going on in my life, but she just, the words that came out were just directly from the Lord. And as it says in Luke, it talks in Luke in chapter 12, you know, the Lord will give you what you need to say at the right time. And that's so true to this woman. And just, it was amazing. And my husband snapped a picture. And the only reason I haven't burned that picture for me being in a bathing suit, like, I do not do bathing suit pictures, is because it's a really good picture and moment. So anyway, it was amazing. He answered my prayers. Fast forward a few minutes later, I'm sitting back down like, look, Lord, that was great and everything, but I'm going to need another sign, like, being needy. And so I'm sure he was laughing at me like, really? Like, I just gave you a pretty good sign that, like, I hear you and that everything's going to be okay. So I'm like, I just need one more. Like, I won't ask for another one. That's not true. I did, but like, just one more. And so Trey and I decide, we're like, we're on the beach. And I said, let's go to the pool and then let's go upstairs. So where we were staying was like a really small, it was a real small, like, condominium. I mean, there weren't many rooms there. And so I'm like, please don't let anybody be at the pool. Kind of being selfish. Because there was a good bit of kids. Like, why is there so many kids on the beach? Why aren't y'all in school? Don't understand. And so anyway, I'm like, don't let there be any kids at the pool. So we go to the pool. And while we were going up, Trey went to the restroom. And I always tell him, God, I have such a small bladder. So he goes to the restroom. So I go into the pool by myself. And when I'm walking in, I see this grandmother, grandfather, and a little girl. She's probably 3 or 4 years old. And I'm like, oh, which I feel guilty in retrospect for being annoyed about these people being in the pool. But for anyone that knows me, it's probably not shocked getting in the pool. I'm like, hey, beautiful girl. I love your bathing suit. She had a Mona bathing suit on. I'm like, what you doing? You having fun? She's kind of shy. She didn't really say much, like, stranger danger. Like, why is she talking to me? But she and her grandfather in the pool, and the grandmother sitting outside of the pool watching them. And at this point, Trey's already getting into the pool, and the little girl looks over and she goes, "I was just talking to Owen." And I'm like, "What? What'd she say?" I'm like, "What did she say?" And so I'm like, you know, kind of flustered. And Trey, I feel, grabs me. And I was like, "What'd you say, baby?" She said, "I was just talking to Owen." The grandfather's like, "We don't know an Owen." "No, she wasn't, you know." And she's like, yes, I was. And I'm like, "She just said she was talking to Owen." Like, obviously she wasn't talking to Owen, but God just used that little girl and her voice verbally to tell me that she's okay. I'm like, wow. I felt in that moment, I'm like, thank God I have sunglasses on. I'm about to cry like a psychopath. I've got to get away from her. But like, did anybody else just hear her say that? Is this real? And I feel my husband kind of catch me behind me. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, y'all have a good day. And I get out of the pool and I walk over to the grandmother and it's like, "Do y'all really not know an Owen?" She's like, "Really don't know an Owen. Like, we ain't even been around anybody today." So, well, my daughter's name is Mary Owen and she died on Monday. And I'm fairly certain the Lord just used that, your granddaughter, to tell me she was okay. And I'm really thankful for that. And it's a moment I'll never forget. And the woman's face was like, you know,
yeah,
just, there were no words for the moment. And so I never will forget that little girl. I don't know her name and I wish I'd have found out, but I did find him a couple days later and I gave her a picture of Mary Owen and I wrote some Bible verses on the back and I asked the grandmother, I said, "I hope you'll give her this picture one day and you'll tell her what happened, because this is something I'll never forget. And it means so much to me. And it must say a lot about your granddaughter that the Lord used her specifically to give me a sign." And that, from that moment on, I was a little bit better than I had been before. That was a pretty blatant sign of God's goodness and his love for us. And I don't know how else to describe how amazing that moment was. But anyway, so that was a God wink, right? And it just was amazing. So I'm like, I'm not sure it can get any better than any of that. Well, I know we're going to run out of time at some point, but I did want to share a couple more. So obviously God's goodness continues to grow. I have ups and downs. I want to be full disclosure of that. I wasn't just living on cloud nine, being amazing 24/7. I was never angry. I can't admit that, but I have had a lot of ups and downs. I've had a lot of struggles. I've had moments where I'm sobbing like a baby in the car. And just anything that you can think of, right? As we talked about earlier, like, I can't imagine. I've had a lot of hurtful moments and a lot of those moments, but God's goodness is made up for so many of those. And I'm so happy to share that I've had better moments, a lot more better moments than I've had bad moments in the past 3 years. So that's got to say something, right? So a few months after she did pass, I'm standing in her garage and I'm holding on to her stroller and like a crazy person. I'm just like holding on to it. Okay. Like, why was I doing that? I don't know, but I was sad and it was almost nighttime. And I was like, I really wish she was here for me to put to bed. I just like want to hold her, miss her. And I'm really just wasn't doing well in that moment. And my husband comes out and he's like, "I've been looking for you. Like, where's your crazy self been?" I'm like, "I've been out here and holding on to this stroller and sad and it has spider webs on it. And I'm just sad." And I was like, "I want my baby and I want to hold her. And it's just, life isn't fair." And I could feel me getting to the point where I was about to be angry. Trey said, "Come inside." And I was like, "No, don't tell me what to do. I'm going to stay out here." He's like, "Come inside. There's something that came in the mail you need to see." I was like, "Fine, whatever. Come in the mail. I mean, I'll come inside." I come inside and some of my previous customers in Memphis had sent me a wind chime. And on the wind chime, it essentially said, "Don't worry, mama. There's an angel in heaven rocking your baby, waiting for you to get here." What are the chances of us opening, of him opening up that gift that came in the mail at the moment that I'm out there feeling the way I was? And we hung it up, and it's something I hear all the time, and especially in the middle of the night. It's just amazing. God did that on purpose. He you know, the way I felt, and then he gave me something so tangible and visible to remind me she's not alone up here. Mm-hmm. She's loved, and you're loved, and you'll see her again. And that's amazing. Really, the last thing I wanted to share was, I'd say, I don't know, they're all my favorite God weeks, but the last really big one. So as we talked about earlier, I have a 15-month-old now. He was born perfectly healthy and fantastic and big. Doctors thought he was going to be 11 pounds, 3 ounces when he was born. Thank God he wasn't. But he was 10. So when he was born, I had told the Lord, was like, don't let him look like Mary Ellen. And I know that's probably crazy. Like, some people may want their child to look like him, but I was like, I just don't know if I can handle that. I need him to be different. I just don't know if mom heart could handle them looking the same. He didn't look like her, to be honest. He came out with black hair and a lot of it, and just very different looking. So I did want to note that. That's one of my guilty moments. I feel like I've shared so much good that I've had some weak moments where I'm like, look, Lord, you know, really been hit by a train in life. Help me out. Listen to me. Don't, you know, I try to predict what's going to happen and tell him what to do. And I feel like the Lord laughs at me. So again, reiterate my, I'm not always a great Christian. So I have my weak moments, but so Matthew was born, everything was great. He was a COVID baby. And so with that being said, we spent a lot of time at home when he was first born. Right. So I'm thinking he's about a month old, maybe. Okay. So he's real young. It's nighttime, and the nighttime means it routine. He's about to take a bath. We're going to feed him. He's going to get put down. I'm trying to do all the things. I have a great husband who does help. But anybody that's had a 1-month-old just knows they're crazy in general. They're feeling crazy. They're tired or overwhelmed. They're annoyed when anyone talks to them. And so while I'm trying to get our nighttime routine growing, Trey's like, come here. I'm like, why are you talking to me? Like, I am trying to get the milk ready. I am trying to get his bath water ready. Like, I'm walking around. Like, you see me trying to do things. It's like, come here. Like, what do you want? And so I walk over. I instantly feel bad. He points at his arm, and it's his right arm. I thought it was his left arm for a little while. And I know the last time you heard this, turns out on his right arm, right there aligned with his heart, is a freckle shaped just like a heart. Mm. Plain as day. I'm like, I am immediately just speechless. And again, anyone that knows me knows I am never speechless. And I'm so shook to the core. I'm like, what are the chances of my son having a freckle literally in line with his heart, in the shape of a heart? And it wasn't just a heart, it was a full heart. It was perfectly shaped. It couldn't have been drawn any better. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I needed that. I needed to slow down in life. I needed that millionth reminder that God gives me all the time, that he loves me, that he loves our family, and that he's still here, and that she's okay. I wish I could put into words the moment of noticing that heart. I'm so glad that Trey slowed me down to see it. And I'm sure folks are like, how did you not notice it before then? And I don't know. I guess I just missed it. I mean, I bathe him, I put lotion on him. I just never noticed. And it's still there to this day. And such a great reminder. She's in heaven, full heart, fully healthy. He's healthy. He's great. Just a good reminder of God's goodness. And I'm so thankful that he used my son for one of his God weeks. And there's been so many things like that that have happened in the past few years that I'm able to continue to lean on him so much because he's given me so much to show me, if that makes sense. He's there. He's real. He cares and he keeps seeking his goodness. And I don't want to miss these things. And I was telling my mom one day, several years ago, how come I never seen God's goodness like this? You know, I'm like really seeing it all the time now. And it's because I wasn't seeking it. And as I said earlier, you don't see God's goodness unless you're truly pursuing him and you miss it. You know, you just miss it. And I'm thankful for all the God weeks and all the things that God has done to really show me how much he loves me and his goodness and his grace, and that I am okay because of him. And I give him all the glory. And I've always wanted, since the day she's died, I want to share his goodness. It's in me. And I've learned, you know, we're here solely to be disciples and to live for the Lord and to spread his goodness and to spread his word and lead others to him. But I do encourage everybody out there, seek a relationship. The days that I don't pursue the Lord and I'm not actively trying to be in his word or to live up to his goodness, which Lord knows I have so many of those days, I don't have good days. I don't feel good that day. It's just kind of blah, kind of numb. But the days that I seek him, I feel so much more alive. And those are the days that I live for. And so we're all not perfect. None of us are perfect. And obviously we're not going to have all good days, but I can tell you from someone who has more better days than not, it's a much happier world to live in.
Amen. Amen. Well, Kate, thank you again, but I have to ask this question that I feel like you've indirectly answered throughout, but I wrap up every conversation the same way. And it's by asking my guests the question in your own words. What does it mean to live well?
Oh, to live well. What's a good way to put my answer? I think that if you are actively seeking the Lord, he is going to give you so much happiness and greatness and wealth. And I don't mean money, like good family, good relationships, just happiness on earth, and then you're rewarded for that in heaven. To live well, I feel like I have so much wealth, and again, I don't mean money. I have a good job. The Lord has put me in such a good, flexible job to where I can have a work-life balance. A good husband that loves me unconditional, that's not cheating on me, that actively wants to have a good relationship with me. I have, you know, healthy child, and unfortunately, lost one. But he's helped, you know, push me through that. I have good parents and in-laws and siblings and friends. My life is infinitely better because I seek him and he gives me, he's rewarded me with good things in my life. That answer would have been very different a few years ago because I wasn't living well. I was living in a lot of sadness, and probably as you can tell, I'm a lot more joyful now. And so I feel like I do live well now, opposed to what I did several years ago.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. And I did want to ask if people listening are inspired by your story, maybe they've lost a child or are struggling with some sort of grief in their own lives, or maybe they just want to reach out and talk to you about your spiritual life or just how you're coping just with tangible physical things you do here on earth to kind of get you through to the next day, you know, whatever it may be, where can people reach out to you if they want to connect further?
Yes. If anyone wants to talk to me and connect further, definitely email me. It's katejacobs1132@gmail.com. That is a great way to contact me, or on Facebook. I don't think my maiden name's in there, just under Kate Jacobs. I check Messenger. And so I would love to connect. Just know, and if some people don't want to reach out, because I've been told I'm just hesitant to reach out to others. And you feel alone, go to therapy. It's such a sad thing that people in this world, some people think that it's, you know, you have to be all jacked up to go to therapy. That's not true. It is helpful. Also, see your doctor. There is bad publicity on depressant meds. I take Prozac. I go to therapy. I go to church. I actively do things here on earth to feel better and to help my situation. I am not solely seeking God for all of my goodness. I have things like that that help me. Mm-hmm. And so I do encourage people, especially if you're living in a very depressed moment, figure out a way to get better. And that could be medicine, that could be therapy, that could just be going to talk to your preacher or a friend. Talk to somebody. Talk to me. I'm always open. My husband's like, you put yourself out there too much. But I would love to talk to people and be there to help.
Thank you for saying that. Thank you for being here. I know this conversation will touch many lives. I am honored and grateful to call you a friend. And I'm so thankful that you agreed to this conversation with me today. I appreciate you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. I love any opportunity to share God's goodness and grace. And I appreciate this time and platform to speak on.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Wellbeing Well Said, the podcast. If you liked what you heard and you would like to support me, it would mean so much if you would subscribe to the show, rate and review, and spread the word. Tell your friends, tag me on Instagram, all the things. That really does help me grow and helps me create more content that I can put out for you all.